to the other big story that we've been tracking all day, not just today, for the last couple of days, Kashmir. There's been a great deal of tension. More than 30 people have lost their lives after the terrorist Burhan Wani was eliminated. The big question is, when will peace return to the Kashmir Valley? What are some of the strategies that the government can actually adopt? This on a day when the Congress party actually criticized the Prime Minister for being outside the country for quite some time. They felt that he should have been back over here. But the government has also reached out to the Congress. They've reached out to the left also to Omar Abdullah, basically making the point that let's be united as we tackle the crisis, as it were, in Jammu and Kashmir. I'm joined now to look at what really can be done to improve the situation on the ground by Sudhanshu Trivedi of the BJP, Hamida Naim, chairperson of the Kashmir Center for Social and Development Studies, with me as well, Raja Munib, the columnist and activist, and also General Rameshwar Roy, the defense analyst. Thank you very much, sir, for being with us. General Roy, if I can come to you first, one of the points made by the government is today is show maximum restraint. Now, this is something that's always said. It's almost a knee-jerk reaction. And one wonders what maximum restraint may actually mean when police stations are being burned down and military installations are being attacked. How do you restrain yourself?
Vishnu, let's accept one basic issue, that ever since the problem of J&K started, and when we tried to control with the use of force, because it's a sensitive border state, a shift has taken place. And if I may use that incident which occurred in 2010, where we had a similar kind of agitation and about 106 or 107 civilians had been killed.
Yep.
Now, the issue is from then onwards, actually, it has been more of an agitational terrorism rather than the terrorism of the type that the security forces had witnessed prior to it. What I'm trying to say is this shift has not been understood, or it has not been factored in dealing with the security situations thereafter. Yeah. And therefore, what has happened is that we continue to deal these agitational terrorism also in a similar manner, as if this is a security issue. It is not.
Not a security issue. It's become one now.
It is not a security issue. Mm-hmm. It is to do with the law and order in that state. Now, if you take this incident itself.
Yeah.
I was very certain when I read the news that the state machinery has been fully mobilized and they have taken all the precautions possible to make sure that the large congregation does not take place on the day of Burhan Wani's burial.
Okay, I just want to go across to Sudhanshu Trivedi. Mr. Trivedi, what next in terms of a strategy? There's been some criticism earlier on in the day. Mehbooba Mufti was not present in Delhi for that very important meeting with the Prime Minister. There was a sense that perhaps she should have been there. And again, the point being raised by the Congress is there some sort of a disconnect between what is happening on the ground over there and the decisions or the discussions taking place here in Delhi?
No, the government is fully in coherence and sincere, honest, an objective in looking up this situation and trying to find out a solution. If you look at this, from yesterday onwards, Home Minister has talked to every senior leader concerned and sought their support because the situation is definitely serious. Today, Prime Minister has issued a statement, and not only this, Home Minister, who was all set to go to US for signing a significant agreement, he has postponed his visit. So this shows the level of sincerity from the topmost level this government is having. But there are two type of aspect of this problem. As one of your learned panelists was saying, it's not just the law and order problem. It is also related to socio, political and ideological aspect. The problem has been created over the years. So it is also the joint responsibility of the social leaders and the political leaders to not create any situation which should somehow justify, glorify, or to a certain extent romanticize the terror.
Yeah.
If something has happened, I don't think anywhere in the world you will find that there can be if and but or one or two opinions among the intellectual and the political class about what the security forces have done.
Sure.
Why it happens only in India? As far as the Burhan Wani is concerned,
I take your point entirely.
One of the key men in killing a colonel of the army, He openly justified in May of this year the killing of 3 CRPF jawans.
No, I take your point completely, and I want to take that across to Hamida Naeem. Ma'am, in as much as we see all this anger and resentment in Kashmir, is there a real danger that the discourse that we have also seen is anti-national in a sense? It's not nationalistic. We are losing lives over here to violence inspired by terrorism, violence inspired by Pakistan, violence inspired by people inside our own country who are militants and terrorists. So therefore, are we losing sight of the larger picture over here as we try and reflect on the situation on the ground?
This is the problem. You start by saying that the violence is committed by the people. You don't understand. There has been a cumulative anger of people over the, because they have been condemned to live in a stalemate. They have been condemned to live in political uncertainty. Every day conspiracies are made against their own land. And therefore, Burhan Wani actually provided a trigger to that anger. And any sincere and caring government would address to the anger and see what are its root causes, rather than use brute force to cut down, mow down innocent boys the way it has been done.
Your forces this time have achieved, let me make the point. Yes.
Please let me make the point. Your forces this time have achieved new refinement of
horror and new depths of your forces, ma'am? They are also your forces.
The forces are everyone's forces. And you say people have committed violence.
Ma'am, I don't understand. There is obviously anger on the ground. But if you have got a mob going into police stations, taking possession of weaponry and then using it to shoot on the police, as happened on the very first day. What exactly are security forces meant to do?
Armless protesters who have been killed.
There were attacks on CRPF facilities, police stations, on BSF facilities as well, ma'am, elsewhere.
Sapling plots everywhere, whereas the aim has been head and the chest rather than the legs. To disperse the mob. It has been deliberately, this is a killing spree. Every time Indian forces find an excuse, they always aim at the head and the chest. And you won't believe that 77 people's eyes have been directly hit and they have lost their eyesight.
Okay,
you've raised
an important point.
Please come General out Roy, of this nationalist
as a professional
and try to
on
understand,
the ground, is it always necessary for soldiers to fire above the waist? Ma'am, you've made your point. I'll try and come back to you later. There are other panelists. They must also speak. Go ahead.
Vishnu, the issue here is that we must understand this anger is a fallout of what? And whatever anger it was, is there not a pointer towards the failure?
No, but General, I want to ask you about a specific point she made.
Yeah.
The specific point is that all of the people who've died and the injuries are of injuries above the waist, injuries on the chest, injuries on the face. On the ground, is it possible for a soldier to be that accurate to ensure that doesn't happen on the ground?
In a situation where mob is the way the mob is behaving, and you are seeing that in these videos, it's very difficult to calibrate either the use of force or the direction of force as to where the force can be used. It's very, very difficult to calibrate that. Nobody can be as accurate, and it's just a mob fury which takes over thereafter. And then to say the minimum force issue to be discussed, or then to say as to injury should not have been here, these were the rubber bullets, if I recollect, they were used. And that is the rubber bullet and the water cannons are the ones which are...
Rubber bullets were not used perhaps enough. But Raja Munib...
Let me give a comparison. In the recent past, Jats came out on the streets. They destroyed property worth billions and they actually blocked the highway. But not one person was actually subjected to a bullet. You treat Kashmiris as enemy territory. You don't treat them as human beings.
Sudhanshu Trivedi, would you like to respond to that? And the comparison between the response of forces in Haryana and the response in Jammu and Kashmir?
Just tell me.
Whosoever knows the modus operandi of the forces while dealing with mob, it is not just at the first instance the forces started firing on the mob. There are first stages warning. Then second stage is certain lines which is not to be crossed. Then third stage comes the light force. Then the fourth stage comes the rubber bullet. Then the fifth stage comes the bullets in the air. Then these things comes. But still, if there are certain youth who has been so much in frenzy that they keep on crossing all these three, four stages, the basic question is, who inspired them? Who instigated them? My allegation is, these leaders of Kashmir, whose sons are studying in the safe havens in Europe and America, and they are making the sons of Kashmir to face these things and to make their life at stake just on the basis of their fanatic and baseless thing. When I'm saying the fanatic and baseless, I am giving one example. You talk about so-called the UN referendum. In that referendum, number one thing, it was taking into account both the Kashmir. Second thing, there is no option of Azadi. It's either to go with Pakistan or with India. So you want to go with Pakistan? You know what is happening in Pakistan occupied Kashmir? What is happening in Baluchistan? What is happening in Fatah? And what happened to Bangladesh? So these type of fanatic, baseless ideas are used to
educate
the youth and make them an unnecessary tool of their political agenda.
No, no, I want to go across to Raja Muneeb now. Raja Muneeb, it's been violent even today. There have been a few more lives which have been lost. But looking ahead, in the days ahead, how does one actually restore a relative sense of calm and normalcy on the ground? Who does that? How do they do that when there is such a big disconnect?
A couple of quick things, Vishnu, here. One, every time Kashmir erupts, we have seen that it is being debated from 2008 onwards. That's a law and order problem and, you know, excessive force and all that. But sadly, what happens is once these protests die down, there is no actual, initiative to reach out to the people and see what exactly is causing this problem. We might blame Pakistan, we might blame separatists, but the reality is we have to take responsibility for our own house. Our own house is not in order. Anybody can come and create a mess out of it. So why are we blaming people for creating a mess when we are not taking responsibility of our own house? Number two, excessive force used or not used is a subject of debate. Yes, I agree. Rubber bullets, as Journal said, has been used. Rubber bullets are not used in Kashmir. Pellets have been fired. There's a four-year-old girl and an eight-year-old girl who have lost their eyesight. I was reading it in the newspapers today. So there have been instances of excessive force as well. We need to accept that. Going forward, I think it's very important that we need a sustained political engagement on the ground. When I talk about sustained political engagement, I'm not talking about jobs and I'm not talking about roads and electricity, because that has failed to give us any foothold for any of the separatist leaders to come up and hold fort and say, hey, we are going to take responsibility, which they are not. In fact, situation like this, every MLA should be in his own constituency and trying to tell people to calm down. But sadly, that's not the case on the ground. They all are missing from the constituency. So what is the political disconnect here that we need to identify? And we really, really need to work really hard on that.
Okay, we've just got a few minutes left. Yes, General, go ahead.
You see, Vishnu, I think we are losing the focus here. The basic issue is that state administration read the entire fallout of this Wani's death very clearly, that it took those precautions. But this has been a failure of those precautions, those machinery on the ground, and that needs to be looked into as to why that machinery failed. Despite all the mechanism in place, there was a congregation of almost 30,000 people. And the trigger that started
Can I come in here?
Which is carrying on till today.
Hamida, ma'am, wanted to come in.
Yes, go ahead, ma'am.
Please?
Okay.
Raja Naim, one moment. Hamida Naim wanted to come in. Come in. Go ahead, ma'am.
Sure.
So I said, if you are really interested in finding a solution, you have to acknowledge the problem, and from that position, solutions would follow. And otherwise, every time there will be these eruptions and there will be excessive use of force and there's a lot loss of lives in Kashmir. Stop treating Kashmiris as enemies and therefore accept the genuine problem which has its own historicity, and don't try to give us sermons and lessons. Don't go here and don't go there. Let people decide. Let there be first of all initiation of a political, result-oriented, fruitful dialogue which can open up the avenues of resolution. Otherwise, you are every time having discussion how to actually maintain the status quo. That status quo maintenance is not doing any good. You have condemned people to live in this political uncertainty, and that is taking a heavy toll on us.
Okay, we just got one. We've got 1 minute left. We've got 1 minute left.
Every time,
Raja Muni, we want to come in over here because I want to go to Sudhanshu Trivedi for his last comments. Raja Muni, is that not a valuable point that is made? That let's have a genuine dialogue on the ground at this stage.
You are insulting our conscience by saying that. Your willingness to
ma'am, I have to ask others, ma'am. You can't outshout everybody. We don't do that over here. Ma'am, let others have their view also. Yes.
Yes, Vishnu, tell me.
No, the suggestion which was made that there needs to be a genuine political dialogue on the ground. Is that the way forward? If so, in what shape? Because we've seen talk of political dialogue every single time this happens.
Well, we have talked of political dialogue happening, but sadly, beyond that, nothing has happened. There is no political dialogue which has happened. Also, reaching out to people is very important. I remember after 2010 agitation, after 130 boys were killed, the parliamentary delegation was here, and after that, the interlocutors were here. But sadly, that interlocutor report was sidelined and was put in literally in a dustbin. So what faith are you, trying to install in people when you are not even listening to your interlocutors?
Okay, Sudhanshu Trivedi, last comment to you. We've got exactly 30 seconds left. The road forward, how does one engage an angry population, an angry populace at this stage in the valley?
I agree that there should be a serious and sincere effort to address the concerns of the youth. And it should be based on the three words which the Prime Minister has used in his famous Srinagar rally: Jamhuriyat, Kashmiriyat, aur Insaniyat. Magar iske liye ye bhi zaruri hai ki Insaniyat dono taraf se ho. Agar Haiwaniyat hogi, aur fir Insaniyat ki hum apeksha karenge, to ye practically bahut difficult.
All right, well, let us see what happens as far as any of those lofty ideals coming to play on the ground is concerned. We'd like to thank all of you very much for joining us. Kashmir remains tense at this stage. More than anything else, immediate peace is the need of the hour. I'd like to thank all of you very much for joining us. Time now for us to take a short break. Thank you, sir.